We got him right now, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line, and is brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today, as again, he joins us once again on the River Islands Guest Line. Yeah, what's up, Joe? What do you want?
I was listening to him yesterday, and like, just Dave was saying, like, oh, we got, you know, the Detroit guy who's, I want to say the broadcast for them, and he's talking about, like, I think it was the TV guy. He was interviewing, and he was basically saying, like, Detroit baseball is having this huge renaissance in terms of the fans, and it was really showcased when I was watching the game yesterday. And then him and Hunter, they're just so good together. And
yeah,
God, I loved watching. There's something about Detroit daytime baseball that I get nostalgic. Now, that being said, he brought up the same thing I said, which was, I miss the old Detroit Stadium with the overhang.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you. So he was just buttering you up there, Dave. Do you feel better now about coming on the show after Joe Shasky buttered you up? Dave, is he gone?
Oh,
there he is. We got you now. We got you now. You're back. You're here.
I listened to all the buttering up. That made me happy. I was down this morning. Now I'm pumped up.
Well, you know who's down right now, Dave? I'm watching, you know, Willy Adames. And look, no one's saying he's the worst player on the planet, you know, but he signed a big deal. And there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. And I do believe that, like, as a, you know, a fan of every sport I watch, and I think that how your teammates react to you, what type of personality are you? Do I get the sense as I'm watching on television that even though you're struggling, are you trying hard? You know, like, I think a lot of these things factor in. Do your teammates respect you? You know, and I think that there's a lot of frustration, and you saw it in the one at bat where he grounded out into the double play, and then in the ninth inning, like, first pitch swinging, and he just chops one to the shortstop. It's just like, oh, and if they want to be a playoff team right now, obviously I want to see them make a move at the deadline, and that goes without saying, but they're going to need a better version of a lot of guys, but in particular of Willy Adames, and I could feel the struggle is real right now for him, and we need these bats to start getting hot here, and I think it starts with him.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, their biggest improvement will come when he is his normal self. He's definitely not that right now, and, you know, look, I talk to Willie almost every day. I don't get in his face and say, are you feeling the pressure? But, I think it's obvious that he is. This is not a try. It's an effort sport. You put hard effort every day over 162. That goes a long way towards being a great player, but it's not a try hard sport. It's not I'm doing it this at bat and forget all. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes it's even the opposite of that. And he does need to relax and have a little better game plan and approach at the plate. Cause you're right. Like that, those at bats yesterday, you know, as frustrating as it's been to watch him struggle, the at bats yesterday were probably the worst he's had all year. And if you're going into an at bat thinking, I'm going after the first pitch or I'm ready to hit on the first pitch, great. I love that approach. I think it's almost always a successful approach if you get the pitch you're looking for and get your best swing off on that pitch. I love the first pitch. It's the age of the strikeout. You got guys who have incredible stuff and strikeout stuff. Don't get to the two strike situation. I'm good with that. But if you go up there and you swing at the first pitch with your C-minus swing at a ball that's down and away and hit a little dribbler ground ball, that is not a good approach. It isn't. And he knows that. Everybody knows that. It's not. I'm not saying anything that these guys don't know themselves. But that tells you where you're just caught in between, and whether it's you're trying to force the issue or whatever, that's not who he is. He's a much better player, much better hitter. He's a very smart baseball player. And we will get that version of him at some point. It's just, you know, it's easy to get impatient waiting for that version of Adames. He did not lose his ability to play the game. He is still one of the better players in the game, and he will be that at some point, but right now, he's not the best version of himself.
You brought up like him kind of in between in terms of like it's a bad swing and he's jumping on the first pitch. I've noticed more check swings too as well, which again, there's a mechanical fundamental, you know, approach in terms of the swing mechanics. And then there's like the mental side of it. When you talk with someone like Hunter or other people around the team, what do you think it's more of right now? Is it more one than the other or is it just both for Willie?
Yeah, I think it can be both. I do. I mean, I think you can watch him swing and think, okay, that's not the best. that's not what a great Willie Adames swing usually looks like. I tell you one thing that a lot of big leaguers will say that I think it's not just Adames, but with a bunch of these struggling guys, you can tell things by the way a player takes a pitch. Just taking a pitch and the way that player looks taking a pitch can tell you something. And the Giants have a few guys right now who do not look comfortable even just taking a pitch. And so whatever that means, whether they're out of their mechanics or they're not seeing the ball the way they usually do or whatever, I think sometimes even just watching how a guy takes one can tell you, is he locked in? Is he feeling calm and comfortable or not? And you're right. I mean, the check swings are part of that. Like that all is sort of tied together in my mind.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on 95.7 The Game, Giants Insider, voice of your San Francisco Giants for NBC Sports Bay Area. The Giants fell yesterday to the Detroit Tigers. Final score 3-1, back in action today in Detroit. Dave, talking about this Tigers team real quick, and we'll get back. It's all about the Giants, obviously. But this Tigers team, I do think, is still slept on. They were an amazing watch last year as that final stretch happened. It was crazy out in the AL Central. They make that run. They won a first round. Scooble, obviously, is the talk. And thank God they probably missed him from this go-around because he was incredible in his last start. But tell me about this Detroit Tigers team real quick. Most wins in baseball, and yet it feels like they don't have that one guy in their lineup. Kind of how we look at this Giants team a little bit, that big bopper that you feel like. I know Riley Green is was their top prospects before. He's batting 270 this year. He's having a good season. Torkelson, obviously. Those are like prospect names, if you will, but they're not like, you know, the Juan Sotos, the Machados of the world. And maybe I'm just looking at that team saying, you know what, if the Tigers can do it, with a non quote unquote big household name, Giants absolutely can.
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, it's not a coincidence that Scott Harris is here and he was with the Giants in 2021. I think the Tigers are kind of the current version of what the Giants were trying to be back then. And the Giants lost their way trying to be that version of that team. You know, they had one great year. The Tigers are trying to make that a little more sustainable. And what I mean by that is they've got a manager and a baseball ops president who are in sync with one another and believe that the full roster is how you navigate a 162 season. And so the Tigers, I mean, we saw yesterday, they used, what, five pitchers. They used their bench. Part of that is because Javi Baez got kicked out of the game, but they used three or four guys off their bench. That's what the Giants did in 2021, and that's what the Tigers are doing right now. Everybody on that team comes to the ballpark every day thinking, there is a role for me in this game today. That can be a really powerful thing. That can be a unifying thing for a team. And I think it's one of the main reasons why the Giants won 107 in 2021. And when you have a season where, you know, some guys have career years and you stay healthy and you have that feeling, that sentiment going, that's a formula for a lot of success. It would not surprise me at all if the Tigers, I'm not saying 107, that's all big number, but the Tigers can win a lot of games if they stay healthy, just with sort of the thing that they've got going right now. And can the Giants channel that? They can, but they've pivoted from that idea to something a little more stable in terms of your core players and letting those guys lead the way, which is also a tried and true formula. When those core players are not performing, you get a week like the Giants offense has had. But I still think the Giants have a very clear game plan about how this team is going to be run this year. And I think it's a good game plan.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Casa Grande kid, the Petaluma boy, Torkelson having a monster bounce back is, I'm happy for him. I'm rooting for him in Detroit. The guy that, you know, was a top draft pick and one of the seismic shifts of the Farhan era was kind of like moving off Joey Bart and giving Pat Bailey carte blanche at catcher. And defensively, he's been spectacular. And I do credit him with a lot of what I've seen from the bullpen and the pitching staff, because there's been a lot of moving parts. And I look at the way that they've attacked hitters and stuff. I think he gets a lot of credit for that. But offensively, he's really struggled, Pat Bailey, that is. What's going on with him, Dave? I mean, he's in a little of a 2-for-19 slump right now. 14 of his last 85. He's not really barreling the ball up. How much can you tolerate? I mean, the defense is elite. That is real. I'm willing to tolerate, you know, a lack of offense, but it's really bad offensively. How much longer can they sustain this?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but 2-for-19, that's not a slump. That's his season. I mean, you know, like hit every 8 at-bats is about what he's done. So that, you know, that's 2 months of 2-for-19, basically. Look, Buster said it publicly at the start of spring training. He said it to Patrick individually, and he said it to everybody. The number one job of the catcher is to be the leader, the captain of the pitching staff. And the Giants have arguably the best pitching staff in the game, and Patrick is doing more than his fair share in that regard. And that is the number one job. And in some ways, it's up to everybody else to pick up the offense. Like, in some ways, what the Giants, you know, all-time greatest catcher has said is, let that spot be dedicated to what Bailey does best. And would we be talking about his offensive struggles as much if Lamont Wade were hitting and Willie Adames were hitting and Mike Yastrzemski hadn't fallen into a slump? We wouldn't be, probably. So I think the Giants internally are still focused on the great stuff that Patrick Bailey brings. It is, I mean, you can tell it's wearing him out because he believes he's a good major league hitter. And we've seen it in not just like short bursts. We've seen it for months at a time where he's been a way better offensive player than he's showing right now. But I still think that the number one job for Bailey is to do what he's done with this pitching staff. And so, you know, if you're looking for ways for the Giants to get this offense jump-started, I'm not saying Bailey wouldn't help if he gets the bat going, but what I am saying is I think the number one thing that needs to happen is offense from other spots.
No, that's a great point. We're talking to Dave Fleming here, our 95.7 The Game Giants insider, voice of the Giants for NBC Sports Bay Area, and we were referencing Patrick Bailey in regards to his peers, right? Fangraphs' offensive rating is one of the worst, with minimum 200 plate appearances amongst other catchers, but the defensive rating on the flip side is the best in comparison to the rest of his peers. So definitely a mix back there. But a guy talking, and we're going to wrap up the struggles. I promise this team's 8 games over .500. We'll get to some of the good stuff, Dave, but just to wrap up this on some of the players that are struggling, Lamont Wade. Yeah, I mean, what more needs to be said? Batting 161 on the season, 22 hits, 270 on base percentage, slugging just 263. Just not where this team needs him to be at. And just only getting older at this point, too. 31 years of age, going on 32, Dave. Are we kind of seeing the last of Lamont Wade here in a Giants uniform?
I hope not, but that is a spot, and I think the three of us have talked about it before this year. Like, that's the spot where the other stuff doesn't overcome the offensive struggles. Playing first base, you know, I mean, I guess maybe if you're JT Snow level defensively, or, you know, even Brandon Belt was a great defensive first baseman, you can contribute to your team if you're, like, there haven't been that many of them, but if you're a really good base runner, Christian Walker, we saw that the last few years in Arizona, like, he'd steal 20 bags and be a really good base. And so, you know, there are a few rare first basemen who can contribute in different ways and sort of mitigate some ups and downs offensively. Lamont's just not that style of player, and that's, he never has been. He's worked himself into being a good defensive first baseman. But they need offense from that spot, unquestionably. And it puts extra pressure on his bat. Unlike with Bailey, you know, where I think, you know, you just sort of, you prioritize the defense. First base is a spot where you need offense. And they have to get more offense from that spot. Have to. And the thing that's going to happen here is with Gerard Encarnacion getting healthy, he's going to get chances. Casey Schmidt, you know, Casey was hurt and missed a lot of time. But when they have given Casey an opportunity, I know the offensive numbers aren't great, but there have been some positive signs with him. Right-handed, left-handed, whatever, the Giants are going to start to try to find more offense from that spot because they have to get it. They have to.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. All right, let's get to the positives. Robbie Ray has been spectacular. I mean, just spectacular. And Logan Webb, I know the last start wasn't great, but he's been awesome this year. And I just look at, like, the young guys in general, whether it's Wisenhunt, AAA. I thought Harrison had a very encouraging outing the last time out. And obviously Birdsong's trying to build up to where he's at. I really like where this staff is at, but I think the guy flying under the radar right now, Randy Rodriguez, I think he's going to be their all-star. I don't know if he'll be the one selected. He has been unbelievable.
What about Logan Webb and Robbie Ray? Those guys are all-stars. Come on.
There are a lot of really good starters. I'm just saying, like, I think Randy Rodriguez has been unbelievable because the way they've employed him, Joe, in high-leverage situations that aren't the eighth or ninth inning, he's a real weapon for this team.
Oh, gosh. He's amazing. Randy Rodriguez has been, one of, if not the best relief pitcher in the National League. They're using him quite a bit. He's been in different circumstances, and he's just been great no matter how they've used him. He's been awesome. And he is just a truly remarkable story. We probably don't say it enough. 2 years ago, this was a guy who could not throw strikes and who had a lot of promise, and it looked like his career was just going to be derailed by an inability to throw strikes. Now he's got, 32 strikeouts, 3 walks in the big leagues? Like, amazing transformation for him and improvement, and he deserves all the credit for doing it. He's a stud. If you take a step back, because you guys are right, like, they're 8 games over. They're just a couple games out in the West. They're in a wild card position. The big picture is very positive for this Giants team. Even just putting that aside, I would argue that the number one thing for this team is the young pitching, not just, sustaining, but establishing itself as the foundation for this team going forward. We know Webb is going to be a big part of that foundation, but you have Birdsong, Roop, and Harrison, and then throw in Randy and Camilo, and whoever you want in the bullpen. There are a lot of guys down there who are young and inexperienced, but I'm especially talking about those young starters. If those three guys, if we emerge from this season, no matter what happens in the end, with the Giants feeling like those guys are a part of our starting staff for years to come, that is it. That unlocks so much else for you as a franchise to be able to focus on and concentrate on and, direct your resources towards. Like, the best thing that could happen to the Giants this year is for that core of young pitchers to all blossom like it looks like they're doing. That pretends like a lot of wins and success in the near term for the Giants if that happens.
No, I'm glad you made that point, because I was tweeting it out yesterday during the game. It's like, hey, look, like I get we're frustrated with Adamas and all that, but I love the direction of where the franchise is. They have a lot of really good players. Like, Ramos is having a good season. I think he's been their team MVP offensively. Jungle Lee has had a good week, but he's had a good season this year. You referenced Yaz cooling off. Yeah, but he's had a good year this year. Matos has been struggling, right? But Fitzgerald's been a good player this year. They've got a lot of really nice pieces. They just need that one, centerpiece guy, and I feel like it could take them over the top and get them into the playoffs. But your point about the pitching is well taken. It's like, hey, look, Harrison's kind of been through the crucible now, and I'm hoping he can come out on the other side. Birdsong has accepted any role that they've asked from him. Camilo's been through the crucible, and he feels like he's a better for it, having come out on this end. They've got really nice foundational pieces. They're just missing that one kind of centerpiece bat who can hit 35, 40 home runs. And I guess that, they're hoping that's Bryce Eldridge, but that feels like it's a little far away. I feel like they can make a move right here in the middle of the season and really make themselves a legitimate playoff team. And it would be a hell of a story.
Yeah, it's just really hard to find that type of player in a trade mid-year. You can do what, you can do what the Padres did and give up your whole farm system for Juan Soto in the rare instance that somebody like that becomes available. I'm trying to think about, I guess it's possible if things really go sideways with the Red Sox that Rafi Devers, just because of, a difference of philosophy, maybe he's a guy who would become available. But other than that, I'm just thinking of the teams that are really struggling, that are out of it, that are going to be sellers, Miami, Colorado, Pittsburgh. Is there a foundational offensive player on those rosters? I don't think so. But because I do agree with you, that is the missing piece for this Giants team. They have a lot of really good, solid position players, but they do need somebody to drive the bus, to be that middle of the order thumper. And they do expect Bryce Eldridge is going to get there. But he's not, even if, let's just say the Giants are in it and they're contending and they're still not getting much from that spot, and they decide, all right, we're pushing the timeline with Eldridge and we're going to just roll the dice and see if he can give us a boost. He can give them a boost, perhaps, but we see it with every good young player. Take Christian Campbell for the Red Sox, who got off to this amazing start, and now he's in a 4-for-40 slump. Mm. It's just, it's just hard, man. Mm-hmm. So Bryce Eldridge is going to come up at some point, and the Giants really believe in his talent, but it's not going to be instantaneous. Like, okay, there's your middle of the order all-star. That is not going to happen right away, no matter when they bring him up here. So that's a long way of saying they do need that on this team. They know they need that on this team, and it's hard to get. That's probably the hardest thing, you know, maybe other than a true ace, that might be the hardest thing to get in this sport.
Well, and especially now with that third wild card, Dave, everyone feels like there may be a player away. So like if you're just hovering around 500, hey, the Braves did it a couple years ago, right? And then they made a huge run. They got like a Jock Peterson. They made a move that actually wasn't as popular. They got like a Jock Peterson, right? I think they acquired someone else. And those guys were big playoff producers. Well, all right, real quick, on your way out, and we appreciate the time, Dave Fleming. All right, we were talking about booing. Just as a fan, if you've ever booed before in your life.
Well, because we want Willie to do well. We do. And I don't think like that is productive. I don't think it's good.
Of course, I'm just bringing Dave on the conversation. It's not that serious. I want to know if a young Dave Fleming ever booed a player or a team, and when and where that happened.
I used to, as a kid, I would go to Bullets games. Well, first of all, we were fans of the, we had, I mean, it's a longer story, someday I'll tell it, but we somehow we got season tickets to the Washington football team. And back then that was a hard thing to get. And so we would go, you know, in the heyday when the Niners were great, when the Giants and Cowboys and Eagles were great, Washington, our team was great too. And we won 3 Super Bowls when I was a kid as a fan. And the Cowboys would come in, and we were booing them. I mean, like, that was part of going to the game. Like, you had to boo Danny White. Heck yeah, we're booing the hell out of him. I was 8 years old, and I was booing those guys. Remember the Bullets had this weird fan named Robin Ficker. And he became famous. He was a lawyer, literally a practicing lawyer, who went to the Cap Center in Landover and would sit near the entire game. This grown man, adult lawyer, and he became known around the NBA, and he would just wear these guys, Barkley and all of them. And I will say, like, some of my friends and I, when I was young, we kind of got sucked into that a little bit. Like, oh, that's the...
Oh, no, he's fading away, Dave Fleming. Oh, all right. I appreciate that. Dave, you're fading out there. Your connection's... getting a little thing, but I found the guy you're talking about, Robin Ficker. He's currently a member of the Maryland House of Delegates from the 15B
district. No way.
Yeah, this guy's a super fan.
He was the Marlin man of back then?
Yeah. No.
Except wearing people out?
This guy's got it all, man. And his first case was seeking to end the National Football League's blackout of sold-out home games. And he went to the Supreme Court of the United States. This guy's something else. Dave, we appreciate the time.
Oh, man.
Thank you so much. We'll do it again next week.
Sorry, my phone isn't cooperating.
You're good. You're good. Yeah. Good stuff, Dave. We appreciate
love
it,
you,
man.
And Hunter together.
I talk to you guys soon.
There he goes. That's Dave Fleming. I wonder.